Well, it's definitely good to be here. Thanks so much for the invitation to come. I'm not sure if you invited me or if Vic invited me or if it was a combination of both, but whoever was responsible, it's good to be here. I don't feel very adequate this morning to fill his shoes, but we're going to do the best we can this morning. I want us to sing a little chorus. You guys might know it. We do it some at home. It's a beautiful song. It's called Refiner's Fire. You all know that song? I'll sing the verse and then I'll feed you the lines to the chorus and we'll try this together. It goes like this. Purify my heart. Let me be as good and precious. Purify my heart. Let me be as good. My heart's one desire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, is to be holy, set apart for you. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master. My master, ready to do your will. It's pretty simple, but it's a very good and profound song, isn't it? It's a song that I sing a lot of times for just reconsecrating myself back to God, letting God know I want Him to be the potter, let me be the clay, and guide me, mold me. Amen. It's a difficult time. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master. Ready to do your will. Amen. Is that your prayer this morning of your heart? Thank the Lord. I want to give one more song to you. This morning I'm going to be talking about life's spiritual journey. And I just felt this would really fit this morning. It's a bluegrass gospel song, if you can't believe that. Just hang around me long enough and you will believe it. But I got my iPhone here. I've got about 3,000 songs on this little device right here, and I'd say just about 75% of them are all bluegrass or bluegrass gospel. But this is one of my favorites. It's a song by Ricky Skaggs. It's called One Seat of Love. Will you listen to the words this morning? Traveling down my soul, it's not too hard to see. Riding is on the line, we take time to leave. Children are hungry and millions are in need. We need to take the time and plant just one seed, a seed of love. One seed of love can help a family who's in danger. One seed of love can make a friend out of a stranger. One seed of love can go where we teach me. You can build a mountain of love with just one seed. What are we here for? It's not to help our neighbor. We need to forget ourselves and be more like the Savior. He had compassion on the sick, the lame, and blind. He grew a mountain of love, one seed at a time. A seed of love, one seed of love can help a family who's in danger. One seed of love can make a friend out of a stranger. One seed of love can go where
teach me. You can go a mountain of love with just one seed. One day many years ago on the cross of Calvary, the greatest seed ever sown was sown for you and me. The seed of love, one seed of love can help the hungry and danger. One seed of love can make a friend out of a stranger. One seed of love can grow every cheek seed. You can build a mountain of love with just one seed. Mountain of love with just one seed.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
I got to keep my clock handy here this morning. So don't keep y'all too awful late. How many of you are hungry? Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, and then it's in your bulletin. You can put your finger in Romans chapter 1, and we'll read verse 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Now, these are awful big shoes for me to fill this morning, and I feel a little bit like John the Baptist who spoke with Jesus. He is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I know Dr. Vic is not Jesus, but nonetheless, I feel the same way. I've been so privileged to know Dr. Vic over the past seven years, and have been privileged to sit under his teaching. And this morning, you'll find out if it's done any good or not. I'm sure you've probably heard these concepts and these truths before, and this little lesson this morning is actually I'm going to try to compact it down and make a zip file out of this. How many of you know what a zip file is? When you zip a lot of information to put it into a smaller package, amen, so we can send it on its way. But I'm probably preaching about four sermons this morning, so I'm going to try to just hit the highlights for you this morning and condense this for time's sake. I'm reminded, just on a humorous note this morning, of the church member that met the pastor at the back of the church after a lengthy sermon one Sunday morning, and he said, "Preacher, I know you're a full gospel preacher, and you believe in preaching the whole Bible, but," he said, "do you have to preach the whole Bible every Sunday?" So this morning, I'm going to do my best not to preach the whole Bible this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. If you stand for the reading of God's Word this morning in honor and reverence of God's Word, you can join me. Enter by the narrow gate. I'm reading out of the New King James. I'm sure some of you maybe have the NIV, and some may have the King James, but whichever version you have is fine. But in the New King James it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And then looking over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let us pray. Father, I just want to thank you this morning for this time together. I want to thank you for this blessed church and for the beautiful morning we have to come and worship you and honor your word. Now, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. I pray that you would guide my lips and thoughts, that they would just honor and glorify you. And may this truth pierce the hearts of the people, and may our faith grow this morning. For all that you do, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Truth this morning has many diverse meanings in today's world, and I'm so thankful that that young man had the audacity and the strength and courage to do what he did this very week. It takes a lot of courage to do what he did, to face a world who is anti-God, probably more so than we've ever seen before in the history of this country. But truth has many diverse meanings in today's world. We have reached a point in history, like Romans 1 describes, that tells us that they hold truth and unrighteousness. But this morning, let me articulate that God's word is still authoritative in nature and defines what truth will always be. It will always have its origin with Almighty, infinite God. There is no beginning and no end to truth. Everything in this fallen world is fighting against this truth, and the devil is making sure that he makes it as difficult as he possibly can for us to choose and take a stand for truth. We have reached a point like Isaiah warns about in chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. This corruption begins with a choice, or a crossroad, as I would like to call it this morning. Everyone this morning is on a spiritual journey, whether you want to admit that or not. I would hope there's no atheist in the crowd, but if you happen to not believe in God, you're still on a spiritual journey. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14 really, really describes it well. It describes a picture of a fork in the road, and we're forced to choose a narrow way or the broad. And the Bible tells us that if those that choose the narrow way will make it to heaven, those that choose the broad way are headed for eternal destruction. Amen? That is not popular preaching in today's world. Today's world, they say, let's just pursue what makes you happy. Whatever makes you happy, we just want to have a good time. We just want to have fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. I hope that we here in Lawrence are having a good time. We're enjoying life, that God is allowing us to enjoy His blessings. But our number one priority this morning, amen, is to do the will of God. Amen. Let me start this outline here. I've got about 9 pages here, but I may not get through it all. So I'll let you out in plenty of time to be the first in line down the road, okay? I first of all want to explain this morning, and I'm having a hard time finding them. Here we go. Before we get into these three, I'm gonna point out three crossroads this morning that all of us, if we're on a spiritual journey of saving faith, will face. But just as a precursor to the main body of my message this morning, I just want to list three essential elements before we look at this map that I've laid out this morning. The first element is the roadmap. And the roadmap is God's word, amen? Psalms 119 and verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." How many of you around here recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible? Have you heard any of you recite that, or can you remember reciting that when you were in school, possibly? That comes directly out of God's word, Psalms 119. The Bible itself says that God's word is a light on this pathway. The next element that I want us to see is the two constant forces on the journey. No matter where you are on this map of spiritual journey, there are two forces that are going to be with you at all times, and that is the force of grace, the grace of God, and the force of temptation, the temptation of the devil. I'm not sure where you are individually this morning on this map, whether you are on the road to heaven, or maybe you have not made the decision. Maybe you have not experienced salvation, and you might find yourself on the road to destruction. And if I could just urge you this morning, it seems like a great and fun and wonderful time. The world paints this beautiful picture of the road that ultimately leads to destruction. And it's my prayer this morning that none of us are on that road this morning. But if you are, it's not too late to turn around and get off the highway and get off the exit and go down the narrow path that leads to heaven. Amen. The next element is the element of faith that all of us possess. No matter where you are on this map, on this road map of your spiritual life, all of us possess some kind of faith. And the Bible tells us that there are actually four kinds of faith. You may have heard Dr. Vic, or Pastor Vic, whichever you prefer to call him. I'm not sure what he goes by around here, but I call him Dr. Vic, so I'll refer to him this morning as Dr. Vic. But he taught us that there are three kinds of faith that John Wesley taught in his sermon entitled The Marks of the New Birth. And the three types of faith are speculative faith, dead faith, and saving faith. And I was talking to my grandfather just not too long ago. Actually, it was the Sunday that I filled in for my dad. This is actually the second time I am speaking to an exclusive adult crowd. So I have been the youth pastor of our church for the past 3 years. That's a little easier than speaking to adults. But some of you may be teachers in the crowd or lead the youth here. But it's a great job to have. Very interesting job to have. So my grandfather was talking to me about, he was analyzing my job that I had done, and he said, "Roy," said, "there's actually one more type of faith that I want you to add to that. The old timers referred to it as achieving faith." And sure enough, we can identify achieving faith in the Bible. The verse we just read says the just, or the ones who are justified, the ones whose sins have been covered by the blood, shall live. Live is a progressive thing. Shall live by faith. So whatever we do, whatever we accomplish, we are going to accomplish by faith, which can be called achieving faith. So this morning I'm going to add one more, if I may, to John Wesley's list, achieving faith according to my grandfather. So we have speculative faith, which this morning can be found in James chapter 2 and 19. It says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." That's an interesting verse, isn't it? So this faith that we must possess to get to heaven must be more faith than what the devils possess. If all you have this morning is speculative faith, you are on the road to destruction. Dead faith is also found there in that same passage. Verse 20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Now, I know this morning I'm opening up a huge can of worms by reading this passage, and some of you may know what I'm talking about here. But this is a major, major point of controversy in our world today. I just got into a conversation just this week with a guy that I work with, and he goes to a big Presbyterian church there in town, and they don't believe that works has anything to do with it. But the Bible says that faith without works is dead. That's a very, very interesting concept. So there is speculative faith. And John Wesley taught this, the founder of the Methodist Church. And then we have dead faith. And then the third kind of faith is saving faith. And this morning, if you are on the road, the narrow road to heaven, you possess this saving faith. I want to tell you this morning that if you possess this saving faith, you also possess the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit indwells those that are saved. Romans chapter 8, and I want to read a pretty long passage this morning in Romans 8. I've really learned a lot about this chapter in the past 2 years studying under Dr. Vick. And I think more so than anything I can say, it's better for me just to read it right out of God's Word, because I believe God's Word speaks for itself. Amen. But it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." To be carnally minded means that we're on the broad road to destruction. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me just point out this morning, there's only one emotion that the devil really can't replicate. The devil can replicate many things that can make us, it can almost seem, he can deceive us into believing that maybe this is from word impressions, that maybe you are from Jesus. But there's one element that the devil cannot replicate this morning, and that is the peace that passes all understanding. Amen? If you have God, Jesus Christ, the Spirit, running in your life this morning, you have a peace, as the song says, that the world never gave and the world can't take away. Amen? And thank God this morning for that peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity we get against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit of Christ reigning in your life this morning, the Bible says, Paul declared it in Romans 8, we are not of his. We don't have this saving faith. Saving faith and the Spirit of Christ go hand in hand. But this is probably one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I did a lesson on this Easter Sunday. And this is powerful, very, very, very powerful this morning. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And we all like to celebrate Easter, and we love that holiday. We love that day that commemorates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will also quicken our mortal bodies. Now you think about that this morning. That is a powerful force. Probably the most powerful thing, the event that ever happened in the history of mankind, was when Jesus defied the law of death, rolled a stone out of the way, and came out of the grave, amen, fully alive, fully clothed in the flesh, defied death. And also with that event defined Christianity, because Christianity is defined by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's not just that, but that is the crowning moment that defines Jesus defied death. That same power that raised him from the dead wants to also work in us. And that is a powerful concept this morning. The same power that raised him from the dead wants to raise us. Whatever you're struggling with this morning, whatever you are facing, whatever you are battling with this morning, there is a power that wants to work in you, wants to help you overcome whatever it may be that you're facing in your life today, this morning. Do you believe that this morning? That's a powerful thing. That is an awesome, awesome concept. And then it goes down to verse 16. This saving faith will produce a confidence and an assurance. It brings the Holy Spirit that assures us that we are saved. If you are saved this morning, you have a sure confidence that God has forgiven your sins, that he is reigning in you, and that you can say with all your might, I know if I die today, I will go to heaven. There's no questions about it. There's no doubts. If you possess saving faith this morning, you are on your way to heaven, and you have confidence and assurance. John Wesley taught that the ultimate sign of a true believer is the assurance that we have, that strong and blessed assurance. That Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Just like your children. So, you know, M.I.C., a few children in the room this morning. The same way that those children know that their parents are truly their parents. That's the same assurance that we should have if we possess this saving faith. There's no question about the confidence that this young little boy here knows that his mom and dad are his mom and dad. There's no question in his mind. He just knows that. He is confident of that. He has the full assurance. He calls his parents mom and dad. Amen? That same confidence that little boy, what's your name? RMT. RT. RT, okay. RT, I'm sorry. Bless you, I don't mean to put you on the spot, RT. I'm sorry. But he knows this morning that his parents are there. He belongs to, and what are your two names this morning? Christy and Tosh. He knows that Christy and Tosh are his mom and dad. That's the same assurance that the Father wants us to have. He wants us to know without a shadow of a doubt that we belong to him. Amen. That's what saving faith is all about this morning. And then the last type of faith we have this morning is achieving faith. And it's the faith that all of us live by from day to day. So I'm moving right along. I'm through my introduction. It shouldn't take long to get to the next three points here. Like I said, I can make a whole sermon out of each one of these points, but I just want to let you know where I'm going with this morning, and then you can go home and dig it out yourself. But the next, the first point that I want to point out this morning is that if you're on this spiritual journey and you've reached the age of accountability where you recognize the Spirit in your life, you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you recognize the voice of Satan, of temptation. Once you reach that point, you have reached this first crossroad in life, and the first crossroad is sin and salvation. You can go to the right and choose salvation. You can go to the left. You can choose sin. And we all reach this point at the age of accountability. My grandfather was 6 years old when he felt like that he reached this point. Many of you may have been at a young age when you reached this point. But all of us, the Bible says, will reach this point. The grace of God hath appeared to all men, the Bible says. The next crossroad that you will reach on your journey. Now, I will say that if you did not choose salvation, then you really cannot reach this next crossroad. You only get to the next crossroad if you possess the saving faith I just talked about. But the next crossroad that every believer will face in life is the crossroad of sanctification and disobedience. You can choose to go to the right and obey and pursue sanctification in your life, or you can choose to go to the left, which is disobedience. The choice of sanctification, that word can be a little intimidating, maybe sometimes, simply because we associate so many things with this word. There's so many levels of baggage. Some associate fanaticism with sanctification. Some associate emotionalism with sanctification. But sanctification is a practical term. It is a practical thing that the Lord wants us all to experience in our spiritual journey. The word sanctification literally means the act of making a thing pure and holy and to be set apart for the glory of God. God has an intended for all of us to reach this point. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3 through 4 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." So all of us must pursue, well, actually God pursues us on this. God is calling us to fully consecrate ourselves to God. Let him be fully Lord of our life. The thing that has to really happen initially once we begin to pursue this sanctification is what we call the crucifixion of ourself. Our self must be crucified. And then there's also this progressive sanctification, that where God is involved in the process of making us more and more holy. The older you become, the older you get in your spiritual journey, the less of the world is going to seem less and less appealing, isn't it? It just seems less and less appealing. I'm still a young man, but I'm telling you, what I'm seeing on TV and what I'm seeing around me is just repulsive to me almost. I mean, I'm just as ready for heaven as some of the older folks are. I mean, I am ready to go. Amen. Are you ready to go this morning? I'm just so tired of dealing with this. But the older we get and the more mature we grow in Christ, the less of the world's appeal will have its pull on us. And that's what this progressive sanctification. But we must, first of all, reach this point of instantaneous sanctification where we are crucifying the flesh. Paul said, "For I am crucified with Christ. It is not I, but Christ that liveth in me." We have to reach that point. And we can. God will show us that point as we walk in the light. Amen? Enough for that. I'm running out of time. I want to mention the last crossroad. Once you reach this crossroad of sanctification and disobedience, God is not going to leave you the way He found you. When God found us in sin and in desperation, He's not going to leave us there. We're not saved by a past experience. We're saved by an ongoing faith. The ongoing work of Christ. If God has saved you, if God has sanctified you, He is preparing you for leadership. And I'm going to mention a few things this morning, very quickly, that God wants us to be as leaders. First of all, I believe that God wants us to ultimately lead our families. If we fail to lead our families to Christ, if we fail to get our families to heaven, then we've failed utterly. But this sanctification will equip you to lead your family, but it will also equip you to be a leader in your community. We need young men like I'm sorry, I forgot your name already. The man sitting behind you. Matt. Matt and Tosh. I remember his name for the rest of the day, hopefully. Matt. Mentioned this morning about this young man. This young man took a step of leadership. God is working in his life, and as a result of his spiritual journey, he took a step of leadership and actually is going to have a major influence on a lot of people. God wants all of us to develop this leadership, this courage. But this type of leadership will only develop, spiritual leadership will only develop if we have made the right decisions at the two previous crossroads. The crossroad of saving faith, when we choose salvation. The crossroad of sanctification, if God is working in your life, if you're constantly consecrating yourself to Him and saying, "God, you're all I want. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you tell me, I'll do." That's the point where God can really use us to help and reach our families, to help and reach our communities, is when we fully consecrate everything to God. And then last of all, God may choose you to lead on a world capacity, on a whole world capacity. Dr. Vic is overseas right now. God may call some of us to go to the mission field. He may call some of us to fulfill the higher calling of leadership on a world basis. We need, if ever a day where we need leaders that are filled with the Holy Ghost and full of this assurance and confidence that God exists, that God's Word is the authoritative Word of God, we need leaders to step up. No matter if it's in your workplace, no matter if it's in the home, at church, at the grocery store, no matter how insignificant you may feel, God wants to use you on a mighty, mighty level this morning. I want to close by reading a hymn, and I actually just found this in your hymnal this morning. And I want you to turn to Psalm number 367. And I was going to try to play and sing it, but I'm just not fully confident that I can maybe pull that off. But let's just read it together. before we go. 367 really says it well. Faith is a dynamic. Faith is the vehicle that is carrying our souls. We're either moving forward toward heaven or we're moving backward toward eternal destruction. So it's a moving force. Faith is a moving force. And so this morning, this song really fits because it says, wherever he leads, I'll go. The first verse says, take up thy cross and follow me. I can sing it, and maybe you can sing it with me. We'll try it together here. Take up my cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender all today. The chorus. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Amen. Is that the cry of your heart this morning? Is your faith moving forward toward heaven or is it moving backwards? Because faith is not stagnant. Your faith will not move still. Will not stay still. Faith is moving forward or moving backwards. And if we have the right attitude, the right prayer of our heart this morning, we're moving forward. We want the faith to do more for us in our lives. Do more than just make us comfortable in our homes. Amen? God wants to push us out of our comfort zones. It wants to push us into leadership through the sanctifying power of His Son. Amen. Well, thank you so much for having me this morning. Hopefully, the Word of God has taught you something this morning. And thank you so much again for inviting me to come. I guess I'll turn the service back over to Matt. If he wants to come, and we'll be dismissed.
Thank you so much, Jerry. We appreciate that. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful service this morning, time of praise and worship, focusing on you, Lord. We pray that you will help us to follow the path that you set for us, and we know it will be the narrow way, but we pray that you will lead us, and as the psalmist said, we know we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we will fear no evil. You will be with us in whatever way that is that you will lead us. Pray that you will lead us that direction starting today. Be with us throughout this week ahead and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.